Fine.
How's everything with you?
Fine. I actually have started sort of a podcast, a monthly podcast.
What?
For New Warriors.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. Good for you.
I'm just going to be a total dork about it and just do it.
That's so awesome. Well, if you ever want somebody who doesn't know anything about New Warriors on your podcast, what's it called? Like, where should people go?
It's called The Crash Pod.
Why is it called The Crash Pod?
Because their original headquarters was called The Crash Pad.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, that's awesome.
If you go to newwarriors.com, so I'm sort of doing it with, I'm sort of co-hosting with... the guy who runs newwarriors.com and the guy who runs the Nova, like the main Nova page.
Yeah.
NovaPrimePage.com.
Yeah.
So the three of us are kind of running it, but I was the one who sort of initiated it.
Gotcha.
And so, newwarriors.com, you'll see it's like the first thing right now.
Yeah. Well, Leo just popped up. I don't know. Did he just join the call? Oh, there he is. All right. I'm going to try and add Paul to the call. Hello?
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
So Corey was just telling me how he started his own podcast, that cheating bastard.
Oh, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah. I've actually been thinking about starting my own too.
Oh, you guys are all scum. Come on. I turned my back for a second. You cheating whores. Whores. No, tell them what it's about, Corey. I mean, you already told me.
I'm just embracing all dorkitude of all levels. It's a New Warriors podcast. And if you don't know what the New Warriors are, exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's a superhero team from like the 90s. And they just had a new comic, a new series start back up a couple months ago. And it's pretty good. And so we're all excited. And so, yeah.
All right. Cool. Hey, Paul, what's up with Kate Mulgrew over there?
Yeah, wasn't that weird?
Yeah, tell Leon and Corey what like you posted on Facebook, because I thought that was bizarre.
Yeah, apparently there's this quote documentary end quote.
Oh yeah, I saw this.
About basically it's promoting the idea that the sun revolves around the earth.
Oh my God.
And Kate Mulgrew is the narrator for this thing.
We're just going back in time, aren't we? Reversing.
Yeah, we totally are. It's ridiculous. I was just like, well, basically what I said to Paul was that she's trying to out crazy Shatner for like the craziest captain on the Enterprise, because, oh, wow. I mean, that's just nuts. Look, I've been watching Cosmos. Whatever. You got to get over it. Like, that's just nonsense. Like, I didn't get to read the article, though, Paul. Did you read the article? Like,
Yeah, I'd read the article. It's basically, it's it's called The Principle. And, you know, like, sort of, I guess, like the... I don't know if it ties into that whole, like, you know, a law of attraction thing, but... basically, it's a guy, the guy's name is Robert Sungenis or something like that, who has a blog called Galileo Was Wrong.
Oh my God.
Very specific.
They know we can check this stuff, right?
Like, they know.
Yeah, you know, he says you can go on some websites of NASA to see that they've started to take down things that might hint toward a geocentric universe.
Oh my God.
But the thing that was surprising about me, though, is that apparently like 1 in 4 Americans believe in that.
Shut
up. That the Earth, according, it's a USA Today, you know, it's USA Today, so whatever.
Oh, wow. So 1 in 4 people believe that the sun revolves around the Earth. What?
You know,
come
this is
on.
Kind of like,
no, I'm sorry. Sort of, it doesn't, sort of, not that they believe it, but they're just not really aware that that's the case. It seems like it's more of like a case of scientific ignorance because, you know, according to this poll, 39%, only 39% answered correctly, you know, that like the universe began with a big explosion.
No, but there are people though that do willingly believe this, like,
yeah,
like even with information. And I think like, I think it's kind of like the height of exceptionalism. Like, yeah, you know, because if you listen to, if you watch that trailer, the whole argument is there's no other planet like ours. We're in this perfect zone. We're like, the universe must be revolving around us because we are the only place where life is existing, and we're just awesome and we're amazing. How can we not be the greatest thing ever? If I were the sun, I'd revolve around me.
if it were a large inanimate object
that had no sentience whatsoever, I'd revolve around the people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
wow.
It's really crazy. Yeah, this guy, the dude who like funds it, is also a Holocaust denier.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It just further down the rabbit hole, and it's just like, wow.
Wasn't he a preacher at a church, and then like the church like above him was like, stop your Holocaust denial, and they like wouldn't let him call his church a Christian church because he was just being too crazy for them.
Yeah, he was too crazy for the Catholic Church.
Oh, jeez.
So then he, because he couldn't talk about that, he switched it to the sun thing.
Oh, that's pretty fucking crazy.
And he may have infiltrated the CIA. I don't know. I'm getting ahead of myself.
All right. Let's get started. So this is Part-Time Fanboy, and I'm Christian Horn. I'm here with my pals Corey Blake, Leod Goldberg, Paul Edwards. We are here to talk about the only thing that there is to talk about this week, which is basically Captain America, the Winter Soldier. So what are we thinking, gentlemen? Who wants to get started on this? No one.
I will start.
Are you all just dumbfounded by how fucking awesome it was?
It was really good.
It was... fucking awesome.
It was practically a perfect comic book movie.
I think it was really up there. I mean, I had my problems with it, but all in all, I definitely dug the shit out of it. I was very impressed. What'd you think, Corey?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. The only thing so far that stuck out to me as a problem is like very minor and just sort of like one of those silly little things that is like, oh well, but I really enjoyed it. I think it really did capture like the comic book fun. Yet it was its own, you know. And they've been saying this in interviews or whatever, so this isn't a revelation at all. But I agree with them. I think it is true that it's a political thriller with some superheroes.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really a really fun, gripping, exciting, and character driven story. And they wear weird clothes and beat up each other sometimes.
Yeah. What about you, Paul? What are your thoughts?
Well, there's a lot of beating up. So, for me, it's a great action movie that's sort of disguised as a political thriller that is, you know, features comic book characters. It's really, really solid. I actually went back and watched the first Captain America after seeing the second one.
And
I am super impressed with the way that they sort of continued the evolution of that character. I mean, to the point of like even the fighting style evolving, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, he was like a brawler and now he's trained, you know, and it, you know, it's a really, really good continuation on everything that's come before it. And in a lot of ways, it even sort of out-Avengers the Avengers.
Yeah, I really have to say that I watched the first one before, the night before I went to go see it. And I was struck by how much I remembered really liking the first Captain America. And for reasons that, you know, is the biggest reason for me was that it had so much heart. And once again, the thing that impressed me the most about the first Captain America movie was that it was very much about a guy who wanted to do the right thing, you know, mm-hmm. like who had a code, who had standards and was like, this is what I want to live up to, an ideal, you know. And there's that awesome line when he first meets the professor where he's like, oh, you know, like, do you want to go kill Nazis? Do you want to go, like, you know, fight in the war because you want to kill Nazis? And he says, well, no, I just don't like bullies, you know, no matter where they come from. And there's just so many, like, really, like, well-written lines like that throughout the movie that could just come across, like, corny as hell, but just really help to establish the character. And it just so, like, to me, I was so happy to see that carry through, because I felt that this one was a little darker and definitely much more violent than anything that we've seen come before. But at the same time, it kept its optimism. Like, it kept a lightness about it. It didn't slip into, like, Dark Knight or Man of Steel territory. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and that's because of, I mean, that's a lot because of Chris Evans and a lot because of who Captain America is. I read a great IO9 quote, I think it was in somebody's comments. They said that his real superpower is that he makes things simple for people. And I think that that's, like, such a great summation of that character. You know, he's a guy who makes, you know, who reminds you, yeah, it's easy to do the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing that, you know, I mean, obviously we're going to dovetail. There was an article online, I forget what the site was, but it's like where Captain America succeeds where, like, Man of Steel fails. And it's just like, to me, it seems like it's such the easy way to go dark. You know what I'm saying? And for me, I've always really appreciated the optimistic heroes. Like, I've always liked the guys that were trying to be really good, because in our world, it's hard to do that. You know what I'm saying? And for me, it's just easier to be like, my parents got shot, my family was shot, I'm just going to go fucking beat everybody up. You know what I mean? It's just like, to me, that's sort of like a bit of the easy way. It's harder to stand up for your morals in any situation, and whether it's like at work, you're like, I don't want to do this, or in your art or whatever it is, you know. It's, and so for the principles to carry through this movie, especially with it being as intense and crazy as it was, like, that is the part that I love the most about this movie. The fact that they, you know, that Marvel is smart enough to be consistent with character, you know, not just with Captain America, but with Iron Man too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. But, like, you also bring up a great point, though, that in a story where the character does follow through, always stands up for, like, what's right, it's real easy to go dark. I mean, they have other characters like in Watchmen, Rorschach. You know, it's real easy to take that into a really dark, bad place and to keep the optimism in it, because it's hard to keep optimism and do what's right all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that's one of the things that I've always liked about Captain America in the comics. You know, I mean, he's had some weird runs, and there have been some, just like with any character, there have been some really crappy runs. But the thing about the character itself, obviously he's a soldier, right? It's like you can't look past that. But what I was talking about with my wife before we got on the podcast, the thing is like, what's great about Captain America is, you know, like, a lot of us can get caught up in, like, oh, cops can be dirty, and the military, we're just going to, you know, we're just imperialist and we're going to go take over a country. But the thing is what's great about Captain America is that he maintained not that naive hope, but that sort of intention of, like, when you first decide that you want to be a cop, or when you first decide you want to join the military, yeah, I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do for my country or my society or my neighborhood, and that's why I want to do it. You know, I would say, like, to dovetail off of what you said, Paul, which is, like, that is what Captain America's superpower, and essentially what Superman's in the comics used to be, which is basically that my intent of purpose is to be good. You know what I'm saying?
That they're an ideal to live up to.
Exactly. And I maintain my strength of character in spite of all odds. So that was the biggest thing that I appreciated, because there were definitely moments where I was like, oh no, oh my God, is he going to be a jackass? Is he going to be a jerk? You know what I mean? Is he going to turn all dark? And I was just so happy to see that, you know. Yeah. What did you guys think of the story in general? I mean, like, basically, you know, okay, spoilers for anyone that's listening, you know, I mean, we're going to spoil the fuck out of it, you know.
Steve Rogers is Captain America.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you know, we basically open up with what? Like, a S.H.I.E.L.D. Ship has been kidnapped by pirates, right?
Right.
Right?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the thing that, like, was in running through my head this entire time watching this is, like, holy shit, what are they going to do with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV?
Yeah. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Not to get ahead of ourselves, but the other thing too is that, you know, last week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like really like leads right into this movie.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that before. I've never seen something on TV that went right into something that was, you know, in the theaters like that. And, you know, so essentially you saw a character from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the show, going on to this mission that has gone wrong, you know, and now they've been captured by Batroc the Leaper, of all people.
Yeah. In the opening scene
of Captain America. Man, talk about, like, villains who I never expected to see on screen.
I know.
Batroc.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about that opening is it's a perfect setup to go, like, oh, I get it. Like, I get why Captain America's a badass. Because, I mean, basically, he could almost take out all those terrorists by himself, you know? Like, mm-hmm. And they sort of, like, because the very opening scene is him jogging, right? Past, you know, the Falcon, Sam Wilson.
Yeah.
Like, where he's, like, doing laps around him again and again around Washington, D.C. And then you see that pay off in the scene on the ship where he's basically running around the circumference of the boat. And tackling people and knocking them out just by, like, basically ramming into them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really great opening sequence.
And they do a great job of jumping into that really cool action sequence after sort of that nice quiet moment. I mean, it opens up really quietly, sort of like, you know, 70s political thriller. You've got, you know, the wide shots of the Potomac and, you know, the viewing pool and everything like that. And there's that really cool scene where, you know, he bonds with, you know, Sam Wilson over shared service, you know, like, and that's the thing that, like, it sort of blew me away. It's like, you know, like, he's not only, like, adjusting to, like, the 21st century, but, like, for him, he hasn't been out of World War II very long, you
That's
know?
That's true, yeah. Well, that, and this is the other thing, I mean, Iron Man 3 was very much, like, sort of had a message, right? And this movie definitely had a message, like, to it, and it seems like that Marvel, what I'm starting to appreciate about, especially the second wave, is that they're just not, like, we're not just going to make action movies. There's going to be, like, a morality to them and a slight morality play, you know? So they took a lot of,
just
like
the comics, morality of it. I mean,
absolutely.
That's just from the comics, and it's great that they're translating that into the movies.
Yeah, you nailed it.
This reminds me a lot of, like, Kirby's run in the 70s, where, you know, you had basically what you found out was the president at the time, you know, who was an enemy agent, you know?
Yeah.
There's that, you know.
I don't know if that was the Kirby run. I think it was a different one. But Kirby addressed all that stuff, too, like a bit of anti-Americanism and stuff like that, or what does America really mean and stuff like that. And this movie touched on all that stuff, you know? Corey, what are your thoughts? You've been kind of quiet over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I think it's right that it's very faithful to the comics. And I think that's one of the reasons why it worked, is that it's not afraid to be from the comics and to really, like, draw from that well.
Yeah.
And Sam, I mean, that opening scene is, I love that opening scene because it's so charming and the chemistry between them is fantastic. I mean, they're just that little bit of sort of friendly ribbing is great. And Anthony Mackie, I think his name is great. You know, he's a great actor.
Hey, by the way, that was Steve Englehart's run on Captain America.
Yeah, Steve Englehart. You got it. You nailed it. Yeah. So, I mean, from then on, we're basically introduced to, you know, because there's a little bit of like, oh, wait a minute, they're in the Indian Ocean, you know, the carrier, the boat that they had to liberate from the pirates. And there's even that line where Captain America basically says, right, like he says, oh, so we were intruding, like we were mm-hmm. we weren't supposed to be here. And then from then on, that's where the plot kind of starts kicking in, when he gets back home, you know, right. when he has a conversation right. with Nick Fury, and you get introduced to the Robert Redford character, you know, and all that stuff. So how did that play out for you? Hold on a second, we got, it looks like Ian just got on the line.
All right.
Hold on a second.
Oh, hey, you guys there?
Yes,
hey.
We're here.
Hey.
Here's Ian. Ian's late.
I am so late. I'm nursing Heidi. She came down with the flu.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry
so
to
I
hear
just,
that.
But I jumped on as soon as possible. I'm here.
So what's your opinion?
Yeah, what is your opinion of Captain America, the Winter Soldier? I mean, we just kind of started getting into when the plot kicks into gear, where he gets back home from the carrier. And he's talking to Nick Fury. And then, you know, I guess basically you get introduced to the big, you know, thing, which is that they're going to launch these three giant SHIELD helicarriers that are going to be able to spy on and kill anyone in the world if they need to, right?
Right. We had a really hard day of wine tasting. I saw this in Paso Robles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my brother, my dad, and my uncle were in town. And we were really worried because we saw it on Friday that we're not going to get into the theater because, you know, they're from Jersey, so it's usually crowded out there. And my uncle's from Philly, and, of course, we're from L.A., so it's like, man, we're not going to get a seat. Well, there's no one in Paso Robles, really, unless you're doing wine tasting. So the theater wasn't really even half full. And we just sat down and let it roll, and I had a great time. I mean, what was even better, though, was to see my dad and my uncle, like, talking about Captain America long after the movie was over. And
that's awesome.
That was just great. My brother passed out, but he really drank the most out of all.
You mean all the shooting didn't keep him awake?
It kind of did, but there was one point, like, I guess the 75% through, I look over and his face just kind of rolls over. But then as soon as that fight between Winter Soldier and Black Widow happened, he woke right back up, like, really quick.
That's great.
It was good. Good time.
Great. Yeah, I mean, we were all saying that we kind of thought it was one of the better ones, I think, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so with the big reveal of the helicarriers, did anyone kind of go like, wait a minute? Because what I was trying to remember, and I actually want to go see it again, is mm-hmm. that was the helicarrier plan secret to, like, the public? Or was it something that people knew about? Or, like, does anyone remember that detail?
No, they didn't know about it because Fury had to override Captain America's clearance on this to even see it. And, you know, Captain America was level 8 SHIELD clearance, we found out.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was above that.
Wow. So, I mean, does anybody not think, I mean, for like a big espionage agency like that to be like, let's build these three helicarriers, like, nobody thinks that anybody would have gone, even Nick Fury would have been like, maybe this isn't such a good idea. Like,
when I saw them, my question was, why are they building those things? All they do is fall out of the sky. I've never seen a comic where the helicarrier has anything but fall out of the sky. What's the point?
They're dangerous. But they were going to go into orbit, so they would have not maybe fallen out of the sky as easily as if they were just floating there. Corey, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I think Fury's understanding of what they would do was different than the reality. I don't think he realized that they would just start opening fire and shooting.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that.
I think he had justified it as, this is like a security blanket. It's a spot, you know, it would only be used, when we needed it. It's sort of like the arms race kind of thing. It's like,
and after what happened in Avengers, you know, with the whole, like, invasion, you could see it being plausible.
Oh, well, totally.
Yeah. But that's the thing is I didn't think they hit that nail on the head enough, like after what happened in New York. You know what I'm saying? Like, or did I not catch that?
No, I think I feel like that, you know, this was sort of like an escalation to, you know, again, they were, you know, advertising it as a preventive thing. And what really is crazy is how this movie was written before, like, Edward Snowden and all of this stuff, and how like really timely it ended up being.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, and which is great because, you know, it goes back to, you know, how you said before, you know, how Captain America doesn't like bullies no matter where they come from, you know?
Yeah.
And when he sees it, he recognizes it for what it is because he's so close to it, you know, from what he saw in World War II. You know, everyone else has their distance, you know, so they don't recognize it as the thing that, you know, will be abused. That's not, you know, the question isn't, you know, whether something's going to be abused or not. The question is, how are they going to abuse it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you guys like Redford's like selling point at the end where I actually started coming around to it, and then he showed the map of all the targets he was going to hit. And I looked at that map and I'm like, well, there's probably a few assholes in that map. That he, you know? So I was like, he's making a good point. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like once that and that I really did like that, like where he basically said this is not freedom, this is fear. You know what I mean? Like that line was like, well, how many times have we heard that in the past couple of years where it's like, dude, the spying programs, you know, basically Google collecting all our information, Facebook collecting all, you know, where it's just becoming like everything's becoming all intrusive. And I really did like that about this plot, that it really, like you said, Paul, like played into stuff that has just been playing out for like the past 2 or 3 years. I mean,
oh, even more than that. I mean, if you look at like stuff that's been playing out since like 9/11, or
yeah,
and you know, like the stuff at the TSA and the fact that everyone has to like take their shoes off and the body scanners and all of that, like it all plays into that.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I love the fact that they brought Captain America into the movies at this time. It's what was so awesome about them bringing him back in the 70s, and you know, now that he's being sort of reintroduced again, because you know he's the American ideal, you know, he's the thing that, you know, we sort of strive toward, and I think it's very appropriate to bring him back into our time right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, and that's what, again, what I appreciated about the first movie and that I appreciate about this movie is that it's not a character or a movie that's not afraid to be like, hey, guys, we all love our country, but, and that's the thing, like when we talked about Captain America in the comics, that's sort of the thing that he's always, like he's run into, like I just finished reading the Man Without a Country arc by Mark Waid, and you know, where they revoke his American citizenship because they suspected him of being a spy, and basically all through, you know, that and the Mark Gruenwald where he gave up his costume and became the captain and all that stuff, there's the ideal, and then when they wanted him to run for president, he's like, I'm about a bigger idea than what you are. Like, you guys are running around in the real world and blah, 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 but I am what... I am the ideal of, like, you know, it's not that Mike makes right. It's like, do unto others as you would like to have done unto you. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is not there to be the bully. He's not there to impose his power on someone. He's there to defend the weak, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got a lot of out of this, you know, which is like he started seeing like, wait a minute, where is this going? And, you know, as we've seen in the media, there just seem to be so many people who are just like preying on our fear that we'll get hit again.
Like Larry Sanders, that son of a gun. I can't believe it.
Larry Sanders. Yeah.
Is Hydra.
That was a great little scene where he was like, he's like, yeah, I've got like a 17-year-old or 19-year-old or whatever he said. Yeah. That was a really great bit. So Ian, what did you think about the fighting? Because you're a fighter, you're a boxer.
I'm glad you asked. So you guys knew that was George St. Pierre as Batroc, right?
Yeah, he was like an MMA fighter, or he is an MMA fighter, right?
He recently was on this crazy win streak. I mean, the guy's genuinely talented. He recently left. He left the whole thing, and obviously he's doing probably much more lucrative things with this role. But I thought that first fight. I mean, in general. I thought they pushed that line of just the speed of the combat, the forcefulness of what Cap can really do to a great, great level. I thought if they pushed it too much further, it would have been Confuso Vision, but I really enjoyed the hand-to-hand combat, and I thought by casting a guy, a real fighter like that, they raised the level of the combat, and all, in the same way they casted Redford to almost raise the level of the acting in a way. But yeah. I thought my favorite fight scene I think was that first Winter Soldier Cap fight scene on the street. Was just phenomenal kind of stuff, and I loved it. I mean, what'd you think?
I thought, like, it's really funny because when I was watching the movie, I kept thinking about you because I know how much you hate, like, the shaky cam and stuff like that. Yeah. And there was a bit of that, but I think that you're dead on because I really felt like you could see them hitting each other or, you know, what looked like them hitting each other. But at the same time, they seemed to combine techniques where it was like there's a little bit of shaky cam, but not so much that you were getting lost, right. Not so much that you couldn't tell who was hitting who. You couldn't feel the force of the punches. Like, I was very impressed, not only with that, but just like the very first major action sequence where, like, Nick Fury realizes that things are going wrong, and it's basically like almost like the scene from Heat.
Yeah.
You know, where they're like shooting in the street, and I'm just like, oh my God, this is like insane, because like I expected action and you got it in that first scene on the boat, but like when dudes are whipping out machine guns and it's like and it's just like they're going and going and like advancing, and Nick Fury's like stuck in that car and you know, and it's like armor integrity, 86% armor integrity, you know what I mean? And he's like trying to fly away. Like, that scene was so well done, and just for me came out of like left field, where I was like, I didn't expect it to be like this. And you know what I mean?
And a lot of what was so great about it was that it was like practical stuff, you know?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Real car chases and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, the thing I love about the Captain America movies in particular is that they're so grounded in, you know, like sort of that classic, like 70s, 80s style of filmmaking, you know?
Yeah.
And we're, you know, there are lots of great, you know, CG special effects and everything, but they strive to make them more invisible than to make them like sort of the showcase, you know?
Yeah.
It's really more about like, actually getting the cars out there and flipping them over and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was blown away by that sequence because, again, I did not expect it to be like, I mean, I expected action, but I didn't expect that. Like, I was like, holy cow. And then there's definitely like a moment in that scene where it was just like, oh my God. Like, I just felt like when, by the time I came out of the movie, I was kind of exhausted because I really felt that they put you through the action ringer where I was just like, oh my God, that was so intense. I mean, it did keep you on the edge of its seat, on the edge of your seat, right?
Absolutely. Yeah,
and the pacing was really good too, because it's kind of a long movie, but you don't feel it at all. It's really paced out really nicely.
No, yeah. Not at all.
And I didn't really expect it from like these guys too. From, you know, basically the directors of these things are pretty much TV guys.
Yeah.
You know? Except for, you know, I think they did that You, Me, and Dupree movie with Owen Wilson. But like most of what they've done is like, you know, Community. And, you know, Happy Ending, and like, it's just like, I really didn't expect it to look like that great. And as a, you know, like that pair of filmmakers really surprised me with how like assured they were, you know?
Yeah. The cinematography is fantastic. Like, I just was like, I was continually blown away by how good it looked. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just like, I was just all impressed all around. You know, I can't say enough.
the second Heat reference I heard today was yours, Christian, because we were talking about this at work, and I was like, yeah, you're right. There is a lot of heat in those street moments.
Oh, yeah.
Just raw gunfire. And Mike, it's nice to see a Michael Mann reference in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It was cool.
That was the thing, is that, like, they really put you in the moment, especially with that one, like, where you see the car getting shot at. And that's the thing, is, like, I actually felt like in that scene, I think I was, like, kind of terrified. I was like, oh my God, can you imagine being out on a city street and then just dudes fucking coming out with machine guns and just like, drrr, drrr, drrr. You know, I mean, that to me was just like, I was just like, I would crap myself. Like, I just, you know, you'd be running for the hills. And it's a bit of a problem that I had with that sequence, because I remember thinking, like, because there's that thing that comes up in the computer in the SUV where it's like, there are no police officers around, you know, like when it's going to call to get help for the accident. And I'm like, okay, so these guys aren't cops. Where are the real cops? Because there's a fucking machine gun battle going on in middle of Washington, D.C., and there's not, like, not every cop in every precinct is being called down to help out with this. You know what I mean?
I think that just speaks to the responsiveness of police in general.
I don't think that's it anymore. I think
Hydra was messing with the 911.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I could buy that. I mean, that's the excuse that I definitely, you know.
Well, I mean, they are controlling, you know, spoilers, they are controlling S.H.I.E.L.D. So,
yeah,
you know, between S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra, they could probably pull that off. No problem.
Yeah. I mean, what did we think of Redford? Because I'm a Robert Redford fan. I like the guy. I think he's a really great actor. I appreciate all the work that he's done for film, like, throughout the years. And I was just like, I remember hearing when he was cast, you know, that I was just like, wow, how did they get Robert Redford for this?
Yeah. Because,
you know, Robert Redford isn't like, I don't see him as the joke that De Niro and Pacino have kind of become in, like, their later years. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's because you can't do an impersonation of him, you know, one line. Whoa, which you can't,
yeah,
right,
Captain exactly. America, baby! And, Captain America,
and
yeah!
Redford doesn't America. Really do anything that he doesn't want to do either, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I feel like that Redford has been able to keep this air of respectability, you know, throughout his career, that he hasn't really taken roles that have made him kind of a, you know, not to be too mean to Pacino and De Niro, but there's been, you know, like Meet the Fockers. It's like, really, dude? Come on, you're the taxi driver. Don't do that shit. Seriously, don't do it. Don't do it, you know? And then Pacino, you know, so I don't know. Like, what did you think of Redford?
Redford, I thought, was having a good time. I mean, because, you know, and there's a lot of people that could have played that type of role.
Sure.
But it just seemed to me like he knew what the role was. He, you know, and I thought he was just having fun with what it was. And it's like, no one can lose at that point, because it's like, it's, you know, you're if any one of those actors are doing a scene with Robert Redford, they're just going to be that much more prepared. And
yeah.
I gave him the thumbs up. We did not get the Red Skull.
I know.
And that's for the best, really, because they did do it in part one. And I was actually finished the Winter Soldier book the same day I saw the movie. So the Red Skull part in the book, I thought, was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I was okay with him not, you know, turning at the end. I mean, he had it, you know, but I don't know. I just thought he had fun, and I didn't mind that it was a little hokey at, you know, at points.
I felt like I really liked that he kept it subtle. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he ever crossed the line. He was always steady. He was always firm, you know, and the one scene that I loved is when the maid came back in the room and he was like, oh, you know, like, he was just like, I didn't want to have to kill you. Like, it kind of added, like, a little teeny bit of niceness to him, you know, where he was like, I didn't want to have to kill you. I was going to kill, like, 3 million other people with my helicarriers, but not my maid.
But you're
the one that
cleans up after me.
Yeah.
By the way, in that scene in the kitchen there's a nice little moment when he opens the refrigerator. There's a bottle of Newman's Own salad dressing in there.
Yeah.
So you actually get Newman and Redford in the same frame, you know, on a film again.
That's
awesome. So that's kind of fun.
I have to say that the scene where I was very impressed with him was when he goes in to see the Winter Soldier. And he sits down and and he's pissed. And I was like, and he was doing it right. He was subtle. He was in control. He did not scream. Like, again, I could see Pacino like, Winter Soldier, what are you doing? Come on, snap out of it, baby. You know? And it's just like, no, come on, man. Like he just
overacted.
Yeah. He rode an even keel. And I loved that about him. And you know when I like freaked out was when Samuel L. Jackson and him got to do a scene together. And I was like, that's Samuel L. Jackson. That's Robert Redford. That's Samuel Jackson. Like, I was just like, they're in the same movie and it's Captain America. And what the fuck is going on? I just stepped into an alternate reality. Like, I was just flipping out. I was just like, this is amazing. You know, like, who would have thought that, like, you would see Samuel L. Jackson and Robert Redford in a fucking Captain America movie? Like, it's just crazy. I mean, am I the only one that experienced this?
I think you're the only one who got that excited about actors.
Oh, no way. It's just crazy. What a world. I mean, look at where we've come. Like we never would have seen a Captain America movie like this and with actors like that. I mean, it's just like Marvel knows how to raise the bar. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
They don't mess around.
I've heard some people refer to it, you know, as far as the movies go, like the golden age of Marvel movies right now, because it is, it's just fantastic. Like, all the movies, they just keep getting better. They're not afraid of taking the stories from the comics. They modify everything slightly so that it fits, but it's still, you know, it's still done right and like true to the comic books and such, and you know, rightfully so, because the comics are what made it successful to begin with. Like, we fell in love with Captain America because of the comics, not because of the crappy movies that came before it, you know?
Yeah.
You mean Reb Brown wasn't the man who convinced you that Captain America?
Was that the guy with the motorcycle helmet?
Yeah. So what did you guys think when the plot finally kind of begins to unravel? Like, when, you know, Arnim Zola steps into the spotlight and it's like, we've been behind everything. I was like, wow. Like,
I thought that was genius.
Yeah. What did everyone else think?
Great design too on the Zola.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just reminiscent enough of the comic book, you know, to like, you know, for people to be like, yeah, and then like, but it was its own thing, you know.
Yeah,
really, really cool design, and you know, that was another great little moment too. You know, the fact that, like, you know, from the beginning, like, SHIELD's been corrupted, you know. Like, you know, they did their best, and, you know, Cap trusts SHIELD because of the people he knows who started it, you know, but at the same time, since the beginning, they've also been, you know, stealing ideas from Zola and, you know, and basically utilizing, ideas from the Cosmic Cube and things like that. It's like, you know, these organizations have been entwined together from the beginning, and I was, when the way they resolved it, honestly, was the thing that was shocking to me.
Which resolve?
Which that they got rid of SHIELD. They're like, okay, you know what?
Right.
From now on, there's, you know, none of this information is top secret. Everybody's going to know it, and SHIELD's gone, you know?
Yeah. It's really interesting because as a fan of, like, World War II history, I really love the reference to, like, Operation Paperclip and, like, all that stuff that kind of happened, you know, that did happen in the real world, where we did recruit Nazi scientists, mm-hmm. where we did use them after the war. And it's just like, and it's really funny because I thought a little bit of that was a bit of a commentary on, like, what the U.S. government in our world will do, which is, like, we'll lay down with the devil, we don't give a shit. And then how much, like, if you play with the devil, then the devil's going to corrupt you. You know, it's going to rub off on you. If you go into a situation where you're trying to be really good and you say, like, look, I'm going to do something bad, or I'm going to ally myself with bad actors, then they're going to, you're not going to remain untouched, right? Like, if you stare into the abyss also stares into you, right? So, I mean, I felt like that was just, like, really well played out. And a little bit of what you said before, Paul, where, like, Captain America, like, he didn't live through any of it, so he's, like, completely untouched. He's completely innocent in the whole thing. He's like a baby almost, you know what I mean? Where he's like, I had nothing to do with any of this, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was, there was a lot of subtext to that and the way it played out. And I also found it really interesting in the fact that all the footage that they showed throughout the years, they just came just shy of, like, referencing 9/11. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I thought, you know, probably would have been disrespectful. But, I mean, that's what they were basically insinuating, right? That basically any chaos in the world has been created because we've been, you know, messing with everything.
Yeah. And essentially, I mean, it's strongly implied that, you know, they thaw out the Winter Soldier whenever they want a prominent figure killed.
You know,
he's basically the cigarette man from X-Files, you know, but with a bionic arm.
Yeah. Did anyone else have thoughts on that big reveal, or like what the implications were in general?
I thought that it was, you know, taking that sort of time jump from the first movie to here, where we're sort of in his shoes. I mean, we didn't know what the audience wasn't there for the last, you know, whatever, 7 years or whatever that was.
Yeah.
So I thought the movie did a really good job of sort of doling that information out and kind of seeding it through the movie so we could kind of figure it out and make the connections without it kind of being like, and now act two will be exposition act. And, you know, we just see.
So
I thought it was really weaved in nicely. And even with the Arnim Zola scene, you know, there was, you know, significant exposition, but it was worked into the character where he was like, and I was just stalling you and here comes the missile and you're dead.
Yeah.
So everything was like justified even when it was exposition.
The other thing that I liked about it was that, I don't know how you guys feel about it in the comic books, but Hydra usually feels, I mean, the whole idea of like cut off one head and another grows, it just feels like there's just a lot of them. It never feels like something really grows, you know, or comes of it. It's just like, oh, well, you kill me and there's going to be someone else. But here it was really that idea of like they stopped Hydra, but they didn't kill everyone. And so it grew, literally grew into Shield, you know, by taking just that little bit into them.
And that's interesting. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, so I really like that aspect too, because Hydra usually, I don't know, the comics, it's just, it just feels like there's an endless amount of them. Here it felt more like they were able to bring people in, recruit, and actually grow into something.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, you know, Hydra was always just like cannon fodder, like in the comics, like in the 80s and the 90s. And it's only really after 9/11 where it's like, you know, everyone had to kind of like look and re-examine like the nature of terrorism. Like, what are terrorists? What effect do they have on the country? Like, what are they really trying at? Because as far as I know, and I'm not an expert throughout the years, but Hydra, like they didn't really ever have an agenda except to really take over the world. And then they were always just these clowns and AIM was the beekeeper suits, but Hydra was, they wore green, right? I think a lot of the time.
Hydra was the guys in green.
Yeah. And so it's just interesting how much, like, even in the Captain America comics, how you've seen that change, you know what I mean? And now in the movies, they've just made it like, it's not even like wearing suicide vests. It's basically like, oh, we're just going to infiltrate everything and we're going to destroy it from the inside. I mean, I thought that was genius.
They're a little more serious in the movie. I mean,
And
that was pretty cool to see. Also, too, the Crossbones character, did he spring out of Hydra? Because that guy in the movie was Crossbones, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
The guy,
he becomes
Crossbones.
Yeah, he was a Hydra agent.
Okay.
That had infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D.
Because in the book of Winter Soldier, he just shows up and like just beats up Captain America for fun.
Whereas... No, Crossbow in the comics is like from the 80s.
Okay.
And he was just like a mercenary. There was no, I mean, I don't know what's changed in recent years, but, you know, in the Winter Soldier, he's just a dude that has a hard-on for Captain America
and
works for the Red Skull. He was just like a mercenary, but I think he's loyal to the Red Skull.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that obviously at the end of this movie, they were setting him up to become Crossbones, you know, which hopefully they'll give him that crazy mask, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, what do you think the implicate, like, because there's a little bit of me of like, wow, with the bad guys won for like 75 years or whatever, for like, whatever, 60 years. Like, in a way, it's like the bad guys won. How did you guys feel about that? Because there's a part of me that's like, oh, man, you know what I mean? Like, that they've been playing us for all this time.
Yeah, but they never win, and like, we never win, you know? I mean, that's sort of the whole thing, is that it's a, you know, it's like, the war never ends in a way.
Yeah.
You know, it just sort of fights on and on in different iterations.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking about before, was that I really think that what it really was that it was sort of the dance between, you know how they always say there's like a dance between Batman and the Joker, like one needs the other to survive. Like maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra, you know, they grew out of each other, so they created each other and they needed each other to function. You know what I'm saying? You needed them to be sort of fighting to create this whole espionage war, you know? And then, like you said, Paul, by the end of the movie, S.H.I.E.L.D. is torn down, Hydra's torn down, so one can't exist without the other, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I don't know.
There's Hydra cells still around, so.
Yeah.
Well, apparently so, yeah.
And I mean, I guess there'll probably be S.H.I.E.L.D. cells still around, you know?
Yeah, well. Yeah, well, I know that there was a run in the 90s where there was corruption discovered within S.H.I.E.L.D., and then the whole apparatus was kind of like torn down. I can't remember. I didn't really read that
That's
series.
What I thought that this was. It was like they stripped down the Winter Soldier book to keep the essential elements, which I thought they did a great job of, and then they threw in this other arc of you know, Hydra infiltrating S.H.I.E.L.D., and I'm like, oh, it's like, kind of like a two-for-one in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
But I definitely thought that that one scene was, it ended up being very intense, like really creepy, and it definitely disturbed me a bit, where I was like, oh, wow, this is kind of intense. You know, I again, with the pacing, like what you guys said with the pacing, I thought, like, even in scenes like that, where just people were talking and revelations were happening and there was exposition, I was like, wow, this is kind of like, this is a little heavy for, like, you know, superhero stuff. So
they did a good job of the exposition. I mean, even introducing the Winter Soldier, even the way she tells him about the Winter Soldier, like, they did a great job of hiding the exposition, so that when you're watching the movie, you're not like, okay, exposition now. You know, when you so many movies, it's like, oh, they open up the book that then informs them what the vampire is, and you know, everything. Like, they did such a good job of integrating that into the movie in a natural way.
I thought they did a fantastic job of that. What did you guys think of the Winter Soldier himself?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, like, fabulous,
beautiful.
Yeah,
looked awesome. The arm was really cool, and I liked the way that Cap dealt with the arm with the shield, and then the action. This touches back to what you guys were talking about with the action before, but what was so great about it is that they integrated Cap's super abilities and the arm's super abilities, but they didn't make a big deal out of it every single time they did something special, which made it feel very integrated.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, that's one of the things that I loved about the fighting scenes, is that they kept moving so fast that even when something spectacular happened, you didn't have time to stop. You were just like, oh shit, he did, wait, he's going to do something else. You know what I mean? Like, you just kept going. Like, it just kept you going. That's a really good point, Liad. I didn't even really think about that, because they kind of, as they made it more about the fighting itself than about like what they were doing, in a way, or what they were able to do. Oh, that's interesting. Corey, what about you? What did you think of the Winter Soldier?
Yeah, he's certainly faithful to the comic.
Yeah.
And I thought the actor was Sebastian Stan or something like that.
Yeah,
I thought he was great. I mean, he had a real sort of stillness to him that kind of added to the, you know, the creepiness of the character, which I thought was really good. Like, he really just stood his ground and was just intense.
Yeah.
It really kind of gave a good energy to the character. And I still love that scene where he rips the steering wheel out of the van.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
That was good.
Yeah. He's like the Jason Voorhees of the Marvel Universe. Like, he just kept coming. I was oh, my God, somebody stop him. Like he seemed like unstoppable. And I for one, really love the scene where he gets unmasked. And, like, Steve Rogers is like, he's like, Bucky? Like, you know, he's just like, and then he's like, who's Bucky? You know what I mean? Like, he had no idea.
Yeah, I
and
like could, that he didn't know. I thought he was going to be like, you know, that he knew who he was. I like stuck with that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Bucky.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Fuck you, Captain America.
The sound cues for the Winter Soldier were amazing.
The music.
And yeah, it killed. I mean, it was. I thought it was so good. Every time he was on screen, you got like these weird chills.
Yeah, yeah.
The first time my dad saw him, I think when he was on screen, my dad's like, "Who's that?" I go. I whisper to him. I go, "That's the Winter Soldier."
yeah. No, I mean that's really funny because Amy turned to me in the theater, my wife, and she goes, "She's like, is that the Winter? Who is that?" And I'm like, "What's the title of the movie?"
Yeah.
And she's like, "What?" And she's like, "But I thought that the Winter Soldier meant Captain America because you know he's old and you know he's like in the winter." And I was like, "Oh, that's a really good way of looking at that." You know what I mean? And she was like, "Oh, that's the Winter Soldier." And I was like, "Yeah." And it was funny because did you guys? I mean, my theater was pretty packed, but when his mask came off. Like, there was a gasp.
Yes.
People were like...
The lady behind me was like, the whole movie, she was gasping every time.
She just had an asthma attack.
Constantly. Yeah.
What was that, Liad? What?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
No, I just didn't hear what you said.
I'm just saying it. Our movie was packed. We went Sunday night, and there was a line around the theater to get in. And it was just constantly gasping at things or making, you know, just like people could not be quiet during the movie in a good way. Like it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. It was funny because when his mask comes off, Amy was looking at it and she's like, is that his best friend? And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, that's Bucky. And she was like, oh my God. And then it was so funny because later on, like when we were driving home, she's like, I hate the name Bucky. I'm like, it's his nickname. It's not his real name. Nobody would name their child Bucky.
It's his middle name, right? His middle name is Buchanan.
Buchanan. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I thought they did a really solid job of the whole thing and like it really played out really well and he freaked me out and you know at the climax at the end I was like, how is this going to play out? Because you know there's a lot of movies where you see the lead guy and he's like, I'm not going to do something, like I'm not going to kill him, I'm not going to, and then it's like, well fuck it, I got to kill this guy, I got to take him down. But I mean at the end of this movie, like I really felt like it's a testament to Chris Evans's acting, because there was a big part of me that's like, no, he's not going to take out his friend. Like I felt like that I believed that he wasn't going to do it, and in the end that's what happened, right? I mean, he basically has that wonderful line where he's like, I'm with you till the end, you know. And I thought that little bit of self-sacrifice just like, you know, just said it for me. Like I was like, wow, you know.
That's again. Interesting that both of the movies end with him sort of giving himself up. One of the things too is that I find like what I love about I love these movies, they're some of my favorite, but they both have the same problem too. The first Captain America and this Captain America had the same problem, and it's it's the last line of dialogue of the movie is always like horrible. It's like they end in the middle of a conversation that somebody's having, and it really just cuts out. Like in the first one, it's like, you know, he's got the line like, "Oh, I had a date," and then like the credits roll, and you're like, "What? Wait, what? That's the way you're ending it?" And then with this one, like it's the middle of he's having a conversation with the Falcon, and literally like the Falcon asks him a question, credits roll.
End of an A team or something.
And it's funny because like those are always my only quibble with the movie is the last line of dialogue. I don't want it to be over.
I think that's part of it. But I also think that these movies, I think it, maybe with the exception of Iron Man 1, these are like the modern day movie serials. These are like this filmmaking changed when they made Lord of the Rings and when they made the Harry Potter movies. Like things changed. Like you have the three act structure, but now it's part of a bigger whole. So there's a lot of these movies where they, you know, these Marvel movies where they end and it's like, what? Like, definitely like the last Thor movie, you mm-hmm. know, it ended with Loki revealing himself, spoiler, you know, to be hiding as Odin. And you're like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? So I think that that's very smart of them because, like you said, Paul, it's like, I want more. Like, you know, I want more of this, you know? So to me, it I'm fine with that. Like, you know, like I've gotten into debates with other people where they're like, well, this is, you know, the movies aren't, the structure is like really weird. And I'm like, but it's different. This isn't the same as it was. Instead of it being a 20-minute or 15-minute movie serial, like in the 30s, where it's like, come back next week, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, come back. And it says at the end of the movie, it says, come back. You know, Captain America will return in Avengers, Age of Ultron, you know. So, I mean, these movies are it's a different method of filmmaking. You're not looking at the typical, like, James Bond beginning, middle, end, and then there's no, you know, play into the next movie. These movies are all sequels of one another, you know, yeah. with the exception of probably the first Iron Man. You know, I think Iron Man 2 is where you first saw it like go really bad, where it was like, oh God, everything needs to be interconnected. And the first Thor movie too, where it was like a little bit of like, why'd you bring the shield stuff in? We don't really need that. But in the end, you know, and now like you mentioned earlier, Paul, like, now they've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to play into it.
Yeah.
So it's become a whole other beast, and it's amazing to watch. You know what I mean?
Well, I think, like you said, the Iron Man 2, not the first one, but Iron Man 2 and the first Thor, I think that was kind of like the growing pains of getting into that style of what you're talking yeah. about. And it's, you know, it's kind of coming back to the comic books because the comic books are so interconnected. You have all those huge, you know, huge events where the characters go into different titles and stuff like that, crossovers, yeah. you know, and this is kind of the movie version of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're doing a really good job of it. I mean, not every movie is a mammoth home run, mm-hmm. but they're keeping us interested. They keep coming back and they're making tons of money, which isn't, you know, the yardstick of like a classic movie. I mean, not, you know, but or a great movie. But I mean, for me, it seems like they're hitting all the notes. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't feel ripped off ever. I haven't felt ripped off ever.
No.
I didn't really like, if it, you know, like Thor 2 wasn't my favorite, but I loved a lot of that movie just with yeah. the character design alone. And I still don't. I'd watch that again in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Know, oh, I want to go see it again as soon as I can. Like, I loved it. I loved the theatrical experience of it, the sound, the explosions, the intensity of it. I mean, all around, I think it's great. I don't think it's the best one. It's not my favorite. You know what I'm saying? But as far as like filmmaking goes, I think it may be like the best crafted one. You know what I'm saying? What'd you guys think of the stinger at the end?
Was that Falcon and Captain America having sex with Black Widow?
Yeah, the threesome.
Hey, wait a
yeah.
minute. That
the
was a different
best
print.
Stinger. Yeah, I know. No, I mean, I'm talking about the Baron Strucker thing.
Oh, is that who that guy was?
Yeah.
So he's got Loki's sword?
He's got Loki's staff, yeah.
And then we saw the Marvel version of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
Which I'm digging a lot more than the Fox version.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I might not see that movie. I have a friend who's going to see
agree.
It. He says yes. I'll go see it, but otherwise I plan on not seeing that one at
you
all.
You mean the next X-Men movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm on the fence, you know. I'm not a big fan of Bryan Singer.
Not at all.
I did like elements of X-Men First Class, and I felt like, oh, they're kind of going in a direction where I appreciate, but I really feel like they need to do with the X-Men what they did with Spider-Man, which is just jettison everything and start from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
well, they need to not mess with the comics aspect
yeah.
of it too. I mean, they just, you know, they're messing with the story to make it so that Wolverine's the hero. Like, they're just messing with the stories too much. They need to just give it back to Marvel and let them do it the right way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually have a theory that the X-Men movies are the most faithful comic book adaptation ever because they have gotten so convoluted and confused. Just like X-Men comics.
That's so
man.
Great.
Dude,
brilliant.
If they can figure out variant covers, then they've got it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely saw that stinger or that button at the end, and I was like, oh, interesting. But is Strucker's not Hydra, right?
Yeah, he's Hydra.
Yeah.
Oh, did he say he was Hydra?
Yeah, they were like a European
solid. I hope that they're going to turn this into AIM, which would be awesome.
That would be interesting. I don't think we're going to get the beehive suits anytime soon.
No, but still, at least an aspect of it.
Yeah.
Are they saying now that then is Loki's staff one of the Infinity Gauntlet stones?
I don't know if that's what they're saying.
I mean, is that sort of like what they're implying with this, that he's using these things to basically do with genetics what the Red Skull was doing with electronics?
Interesting. That's an interesting theory. So do you think, because, I mean, they can't touch like the Magneto stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Well, that's why they called them, they had a name for them, like not mutants, but the
it's called the
Miracles or something like that.
Yeah, Miracles. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the Age of Miracles. That's what he said. Yeah. So that's interesting.
They're skating around that stuff. You know, they're just going to. Yeah. Kind of ignore it, the whole mutant aspect.
You know, in the comics, like there was a time where, you know, they were obviously introduced, I don't know if Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, when they were introduced in the X-Men books, were revealed to be Magneto's father until like much later.
No, they weren't. It was a lot later.
Yeah, so maybe they'll leave their parental lineage like a mystery, you know? But I have to say that little bit with like her kind of like floating the blocks and looking all like creepy goth girl that's done too much ecstasy, I thought that was really cool. I really like that a lot. So I don't know. I mean, have you guys seen any of the online images that people have been snapping of like the Age of Ultron shoots?
What? I saw the Captain America outfit from that one, which it's kind of cool because first of all, I loved the suit they started him off with in there, and then I love that at the end of the movie he went back to the original outfit.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a great moment, and you know, it just made me happy. And and the new one in Age of Ultron seems to be like almost like a cross between his original outfit and sort of the Ultimates version. So that's all I've seen out of it, and I'm trying to kind of avoid anything else.
Well, there's definitely, I mean, I think there's even footage, like video footage of Quicksilver.
All that stuff. I just want to see it in the theaters, honestly.
Yeah. I was dying to see.
I liked the speed effects that they had of Quicksilver there, with like he was sort of like, it's very jerky and lightning looking. I'm not a big fan of the speed effects that they were using on the Fox one. You can see it in a really bad Carl's Jr. commercial.
Saw that.
I'm not a big. I don't like necessarily the way that they approach that. And it kind of makes me nervous about the Flash in a way now seeing this stuff. I'm just like, ooh, okay.
Well, but look at Smallville. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of like those speed effects. Right. So,
but I thought that this looked really different than any other sort of like speed effect that I've seen, you know, in the movies. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Cool. Well, I'm psyched to see Age of Ultron. I think that with the first Avengers movie, which I really liked a lot, you know, I really liked it. I think that Joss Whedon kind of got handed a bag of stuff that he didn't help create from the beginning. And I'm really optimistic that I feel like, okay, now he's sort of in on the ground floor, you know, is helping plan the whole thing and is going to be able to play it out like the way he wants it. You know what I'm saying?
Although, what is he going to do with Iron Man after the third Iron Man movie?
Well, I think Downey's contracted for the last two Avengers, and that's it.
Well, no, what I mean is, like, in the last Iron Man movie, he destroys all his suits.
Yeah, and also gets the, you know, he gets the operation to take care of his heart and everything. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. He'll definitely be a different Iron Man, I think, than people are used to. But I think that's part of getting people ready for the new one.
Okay. Well, one last question. Do you think, who's read the Winter Soldier arc, like the comics?
I've read
it. Has anyone read it?
Yeah.
I have.
Well, do you think that what they're setting up with the Winter Soldier is the fact that, because Chris Evans is contracted for like Avengers 2 and 3 and probably like one more Captain America
movie?
Yeah,
they announced it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So do you think that they're going to set him up to, you know, get assassinated like in the books, and that Bucky will become the new, the Winter Soldier will become a new Captain America for another series of movies?
Yeah, that'd be fine. And it's nice that they introduced him earlier, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that it seems to me that that's the way it could play out. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. There was a moment where I was wondering when he was towards the end, I was wondering, like, are they going to kill him off? Is this the way they're going to do that storyline?
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think they're going to save it till the third movie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and it gives them an opportunity to continue the Captain America story without having to recast Steve Rogers, at least for a while.
And without rebooting it, too, which, you know,
yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting tired of rebooting under 3 years, you know?
Oh, dude. Guys, Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 2, that looks kind of painful to me.
On that one, too.
I heard someone saw the IMAX. My buddy saw the IMAX trailer and said he was floored. He loved it.
Really?
He said the 3D in the IMAX of Spidey swinging, he was sold on. And I'm like, are you sure? He's like, he's going to see it. I'm like, all right.
No, I'm not going to lie. Visually, like Spider-Man swinging around the city, that stuff looks awesome. What? It's just a story. There's like so many villains.
Yeah.
It just seems cheesy.
Paul Giamatti.
The last one, the character was also not like they're not doing Peter Parker right. They're not doing Spider-Man right. And
I actually liked the elements of the first one. It's sort of the second half where they introduced the lizard, where I was just like, I all in all, I kind of liked the first two Sam Raimi movies better, but. Yeah, this one just looks like, I don't know, I've said this to you, Paul. Mm-hmm. It looks a little bit like of a Batman and Robin mess to me. Mm. Like, I don't know. Even some of the color scheme looks a little bit the same.
I have a theory about the Spider-Man movies, which is that eventually they will stop making them for a little while and turn it over to someone, and they'll come out with it again. And we will look at the new Spider-Man and the old Spider-Man, the way we looked at Batman when Batman Begins came out, and we looked at the old Batman movie and went, oh, this is what it should have been. What were we thinking?
Maybe someday, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Raimi did a really good job with the first two movies. I'm not going to lie. I thought
Spider-Man 2 is great.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 is one of my favorite superhero movies.
And you may say it again. You may say it looks like Batman and Robin, but until Spider-Man whips out a credit card that says Spider-Man on it, it hasn't touched that depth.
Still to this day, have not seen Batman and Robin. Still to this day,
wear it as a badge of honor.
You need to see it.
Never. Any last thoughts on Captain America? Guardians of the Galaxy.
I have a comment about that, actually, about Guardians of the Galaxy.
What do you think?
I think it's going to be awesome. But that aside, I think it would be very interesting if they introduced in the next either Avengers movie or Captain America movie, if they introduced a sword, that deals with like the the intergalactic stuff, and then they could tie their space stuff with Guardians of the Galaxy in with the Avengers in the future.
Interesting. Oh, well, hey, let's talk about, I mean, what about Vance Astrovic? Right?
Oh yeah, Vance Astro. Yeah.
He's a new warrior.
Is he?
Yeah, he's Justice. He's Marvel Boy.
Oh really?
He's the present version of Vance Astro.
But doesn't Vance Astro have Captain America's shield at one point or something?
In the
like
future,
that?
Yeah, the future version does.
Oh, interesting.
And of course, the big thing that they threw out in the middle of this, you know, when they were talking about all the threats, they threw out Stephen Strange's name.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So we've got Doctor Strange coming up. As long as they don't have Johnny Depp, then I'm good with it.
No, did you hear who they've got? Who the big rumor is? It's not Johnny Depp anymore. It's John Hamm.
Okay, I'm down with that.
I'm so down with that too. I think he'd be awesome because he's so good in Mad Men at playing like the egotistical, like self-centered guy. And to see something like that humbled, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And have to become like this weird, you know, magician guy. Oh,
that would
man.
Be awesome. That would really be an amazing
That'd be awesome.
And I think he would definitely ground that craziness too. You
know? Yeah. Absolutely. I could see him playing the guy who needs to believe it but doesn't want to believe it. You know what I'm saying? Like being like, oh, how did I get wrapped up in this? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then at some point just having to embrace it. So I'm excited. I mean, this movie has definitely kicked up the bar. You know what I'm saying? I think Guardians of the Galaxy is not going to be as spectacular as this, but I think they're going for a more humor. Like yeah. humorous tone, so it's definitely going to be fun. And dude, Rocket Raccoon,
dude, that
Rocket
trailer,
Raccoon!
It's that a, trailer is almost perfect. It really yeah. is an almost perfect great. Trailer. It's so good. If the movie is close to that, it'll be an amazing movie.
Yeah,
just a lot of fun.
Exciting.
You know what?
August.
What it is that Guardians of the Galaxy is the palate cleanser of the Marvel movies.
Probably, you're right. You're probably
That's right.
right. Yeah, you're probably absolutely right. Like, they're giving us a break from all the regular stuff like Iron Man, Thor, blah, 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 all this stuff. And they're saying, here's something to, you know, break up the, you know, give you a break, a little sorbet.
Something different and you know, yeah. unique, and it's light and it's fluffy, so go for it. Yeah.
Oh, freaking awesome. All right. Well, this has been the part-time fanboy episode of Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Thanks, guys, for doing this. My name is Christian Horn. I've got Corey Blake, Leod Goldberg, Paul Edwards, and Ian Scheller on the line. And hopefully we will be here soon with another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. Bye.
Part-Time Fanboy. Fanboy.com